All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, and we read comics.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.
I wish we had some of those 2023 glasses.
Oh, yeah, that would be something.
Have you seen that tweet?
Next year.
Where it was like they just gave up, and it's basically just 200, and then it's like 23 is like at the top. Or something like that, and I was like, they just gave up. They don't know how to do it anymore. Just they don't know how to incorporate the eyes.
2020 is just a banger year it for was. The glasses.
I was like, I actually had that logic where I was like, this will be a good year because the glasses are gonna be sick.
and then the two will rest on your nose, and then zeros,
and then the zeros. Yeah, and I'm like, this is perfect.
Now it's just glasses, and then like it's on top of the frame. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Sad.
We won't get something like that until 2030.
Oh, that'll be a banger, though.
Yeah, can't wait.
That's going to be the good year.
Yeah. We got time codes in our description. If you want to jump around, we got the news. We got talking about the best comics of the year.
Yes, we do.
Our book, Back Matter Matters, and the poll list. But what do we start with, Nathan?
Let's get into the news.
Nathan,
what news you got, Daniel?
Pretty crazy news this week. Aftershock Comics files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Yeah, that's fucking wild.
And I kind of felt bad about like editing our episode about an Aftershock's comic, you know?
That's why.
That I'm about to post.
The naughty list was supposed to be, you know, the one that saved it.
So they could pay the creators.
Yeah,
so you know? They
could pay. Yeah, this is off the back of Aftershock. You know, a bunch of people saying that Aftershock has not paid their creators in like some time.
Like months,
and,
yeah.
The statement from Aftershock is after much deliberation, Aftershock Comics LLC has voluntarily filed for a petition for protection under Chapter 11 of the United States Bankruptcy Code to enable the company to restructure its senior secured facility, as well as being in a position to secure additional financing to continue to operate its business.
I was thinking like,
trying to keep it going, but using bankruptcy as like a way to do that.
Sure.
I don't know how that all works. So they're going to try and keep it. But I mean, I've enjoyed some Aftershock stuff. That does suck that they haven't paid people.
Right.
Like a lot of people, it seems. Because that's shitty.
Yeah. You know? I was thinking like, oh, we should read more Aftershock comics to help, you know? And then I read more into it. I'm like, oh no, they suck.
No.
That's bad.
We don't want that.
No. But anyway, that's crazy. They owe over $10 million to creators.
Oh, apparently. My God.
Which is nuts.
That's I didn't know that. And $10 million?
Yeah. And that's like just a part of the debts that they have. They owe debts to like distributors and stuff like that. Tons of shit. So pretty crazy.
And the naughty list couldn't get them there.
Nope.
Couldn't sell $10 million naughty list.
Yeah, I get it.
Not even with Francesco Francivi on covers.
Yeah. But yeah, you know.
Daniel, Action Comics 1051 is the beginning of a new era with a new format for the series that started it all, featuring three stories in each issue, which I guess is similar to how the original Action Comics was. There was like three separate stories or something in each issue.
Yeah, cool.
So that's pretty neat.
Yeah. So I might try that shit.
Yeah,
that sounds
sweet. Yeah.
A couple 8-pagers.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'll like read one and see if it like works. If there's one good one, I'll buy the next one.
Yeah. It's got a Dan Mora cover. So I'm already sold.
Yeah, pretty tough to beat. And then cool. Sad news.
Okay,
Henry Cavill is no longer going to be Superman.
Dude, that felt like forever ago.
It sure did. But no, it was this week.
Turns out,
I think it was like after you left recording.
It's like right after, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. Really, I mean, I would have liked to see another one, but it totally makes sense that they're sort of clearing the slate a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, so. Whatever.
I don't like it, but I get it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And he might be John Warhammer now in like a Warhammer series or movie. That
I think he like is.
He is.
Isn't it like Trevor Warhammer or something?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't think there's anybody named Warhammer in the Warhammer universe, but...
Yeah. The Warhammer. Yeah.
I don't know. I've been playing the game. I've not met anybody named Warhammer.
I didn't realize it was like a futuristic kind of game. I thought it was always like a medieval kind of thing.
I don't think... anybody that's a fan of Warhammer knows what it is. Okay. Or at least I don't, because I've been playing the game and I'm like, what am I doing? But it's a lot of fun, but I'm like, what's happening?
Right.
So
more DC news. Black Adam 2 is not happening.
Mm-hmm. And The Rock's like, we won't be in the first chapter of the storytelling.
Yeah, but maybe the next one.
Sure. I'd like to see more of him not in his own movie.
Sure.
I think that'd be kind of cool.
In addition, Dwayne Johnson reportedly declined to shoot a cameo as Black Adam for Shazam, Fury of the Gods, telling Warner Bros. Executives, I'm only here to play in the big leagues.
Yeah, that makes sense. He's like, I don't want to be the cameo in the character that created...
I don't want to be a cameo in a movie that got a sequel.
Yeah, okay? Exactly. So that's insane, especially since Black Adam is like the main villain for Shazam.
And it was kind of weird that Shazam wasn't even in it.
And like Shazam, the Wizard Shazam was in Black Adam, and the Wizard Shazam is in both of those movies, I think.
Yeah.
So it's like...
It is. What, same dude.
Very strange.
That's pretty... shitty. You mean you only want to fight Superman? Is that all?
That's it. Yeah. What else is the big leagues? Like,
you're fighting.
They don't have
Giant Man or whatever, or Atom Smasher.
Yeah, he's big league though.
Yeah, he grows big. He's big, but like no one on the street knows Atom Smasher. Yeah. Even after that movie coming out, I don't think anyone can tell me who that is. You know.
Yeah, I certainly couldn't.
But anyway,
there's more on DC news. I guess Dawn of DC, whatever, it was like last issue of the Dark. I don't know, but they posted this picture of Batman and he's in a Dr. Fate helmet, and I was like, I like this.
You think they would have like spiced up his costume or something?
It's just
just Batman with a helmet on.
You know, the Dr. Fate helmet has some spikes on it though. Has for the ears. So
Batman was late to a Halloween party and he just grabbed the first thing he'd find.
Oh, that'd be a good backup. Just get a Dr. Fate helmet because they're selling them everywhere.
I think that'd be a fun one-shot, like Halloween special. Like it's just the Justice League going to a Halloween party and they're just dressed as like each other.
Yeah.
Or like other people.
Kind of like the Tom King thing, but for like everybody. Oh,
yeah. Maybe it was done already.
Yeah.
But that wasn't like Halloween though. Nathan, do you know who Joe Kelly is?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know him from his book, I Kill Giants. Mm-hmm. He's coming out with a new book called Immortal Sergeant.
Cool.
Coming out January 18th with artist Ken Yamura.
Nice.
On the eve of his unwelcome retirement, Jim Sargent, that's his name, I guess. It's spelled differently than Sargent, but a grizzled old school detective catches a break on a murder case that's haunted him for decades. Unfortunately, Sarge must drag his anxiety-riddled adult son, Michael, for the ride or risk losing the lead forever. Can this dysfunctional duo overcome their own hang-ups, blind spots, and secrets to catch a killer?
Oh, wow.
Seems pretty cool.
A whodunit?
A whodunit? I guess, I don't know why it's like bring your kid to work day.
I don't know.
When his kid's like a son.
Maybe the kid might get killed. Who knows? And you got to protect him.
Yeah.
Speaking of new things coming out, Matt Kint is doing a new book with Tyler Jenkins called Hairball. It's a frightening supernatural cat adventure.
That just sounds frightening.
The cover actually looks like somewhat frightening.
Let me see.
So you know what? This is like the thumbnail of the screenshotted tweet, but that's what it looks like.
Oh, pretty.
So it doesn't look like it's like silly. I think it might be for real. So we'll see. I don't
think cats are scary the way they stare at you.
They can be, yeah.
Like the strays and stuff.
Yeah. You know, here's a hot topic right now. So AI is happening.
Yeah.
AI generated art.
Don't use AI generated art.
It's dumb and it looks stupid anyway. They can't do fingers or faces, and they use like existing art without any sort of confirmation or anything like that. It's just bad.
With no permission, no payment.
No permission,
like
or compensation. There's an AI-created comic has been deemed ineligible for copyright protection because in order for copyrighted works to be copywritten, they need to be created by humans to gain official copyright protection.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, that's good. You know that?
That
calms the nerves a little bit.
Didn't that dude, like Dean something, Dean McKay or whatever, from Arkham Asylum? Mm-hmm. Wasn't he doing one?
He was doing something with AI and Dave McKean. I didn't find it on here. I got to Arkham Asylum, Grah.
I don't believe you.
Nope. Look, I'll turn my computer around. No, it's fine. Yeah, so Dave McKean, he did do something with AI art. I don't really know what it is. It sounded more tasteful than just what normal people use AI art for.
I saw someone post on Twitter, like, they made, like, an AI-generated, like, children's book. And then there's this comics artist that, like, took, like, one of the pages and just ripped it apart. And it was so fucking funny.
Whoa.
Because it was like this little girl and she was, I don't know, baking or something. Mm-hmm. And the fingers look like ass. They're like triangles. Yeah. And then like the shine looked like her hair was on fire almost.
Yeah.
Just like there's so much wrong with it. And he just, you know, plugged it in and then just, yeah, that's good. Send it to the printers or whatever.
Disgusting. There's no heart.
No heart. That.
So I think that's everything I had.
Nathan.
What's up?
I know you've been wanting a little bit more NFT news.
Oh, yeah.
And so here we go.
We've been dry lately.
Yep. Trump is releasing NFT trading cards for $99.
Yeah, I did see that.
And it's
that
a felt picture, like forever ago, too. It's a picture of him in a superhero costume with a American flag cape, just like Homelander. And it's so ironic, I can't even believe it.
It's insane. I thought it was an SNL skit.
Right? Yeah.
And what's... To bring it back to comic book news, the Vought International Twitter account posted something very similar, but with Homelander in it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's so funny.
And I was just like, oh my God. It's just, it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something to happen. Invincible season 2 is coming in 2023, Nathan.
Yeah. Is that going to be our episode 200? Does that line up around then?
200? No.
Oh, that's like 50.
That'd be
over a year away, huh?
Yeah, it'd be like 24.
Okay.
Why, you want to do Invincible?
I don't know. I just figured it'd be a pretty good size series for 200. It's almost 200 issues, isn't it?
It's 148.
Oh, okay.
You want to just crank that out?
Do it for 150. No, I don't want to crank it out. We still got to figure out what that's going to be. But it's going to be something long and ridiculous, but also pretty good. But also, it's going to be horrible.
I was thinking Nightfall.
Wow. How long is that?
Long.
No, we should do, you know what we should do?
Long
the clone saga.
The clone saga?
The Spider-Man clone saga.
Oh, how long is that?
Super long.
Is it one like run?
I think you can get a compendium of it.
Wow.
People hate it as well. It's Web of Spider-Man 117 through 124, a super special. And then it continues at 125 through 129, and then Web of Scarlet Spider, and then the Sensational Spider-Man 0 through 11. So I don't know how many...
Nightfall's a lot, especially like all the tie-ins and shit, because there's like Detective Comics and then Justice League Task Force and Legends of the Dark Knight.
Someone said approaching 200.
200 issues?
Oh my God.
We can't do that, dude.
No, we can't.
We'll stick with like 50.
Especially, you know, with what I mean? Something that like I wouldn't really care about, but that would be miserable.
Maybe the Long Halloween?
That's only like, that's not long enough.
It's like 13 issues.
13 long issues. We'll figure it out.
I think not to be decided here. And I think it's, yeah, it's like kind of thick, but anyway.
What else we got?
I think like the 100 was like the big one, but.
Yeah, fair.
Nathan, Donald Glover was casted as, or has been rumored to be casted as the Hypno Hustler in the Sonyverse.
Yeah, everybody's been pushing for this.
He's some DJ guy or something that has powers. Mm-hmm. He's a villain.
Yeah, didn't he want to do this one because no one cares about him? And so he just can do whatever he wants with it?
No stakes, yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, why not? Nathan.
What's up?
Ryan Ottley announced that he was doing creator-owned books after his run on Hulk.
Did you know that he was writing his last arc of Hulk?
I didn't realize it was the whole arc, but that's cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty neat. And then, yeah, he said he's pretty interested in just sort of short form stuff, which I think a lot of people are right now. No one's really doing like a long run like Invincible now anymore.
Which kind of sucks, yeah.
Which does suck, but I understand.
I think Saga is probably like the last long running book that there still is. I think
like Savage Dragon is like still in like Spawn, technically.
But like, how often do you see like Spawn?
How often do you see Saga?
Yeah, true, but same creative team, you know, and that's what matters.
You know what, that is true.
Spawn has been fair. Like a handful.
Also, well, I mean, Invincible is technically like a handful of people. I guess like four, huh?
Yeah, but it was like only really like two artists, and the one writer.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
That's pretty small.
How long do like, I mean, I feel like comics in general are shifting to like, I think what is going on in like Japan with mangas, like I know there's like a lot of really long form mangas, but I feel like there's random mangas about like ping pong or whatever, and those are like shorter ones.
Yeah, there's one about basketball. I'm like, yeah, you guys with basketball.
And then like some of those like will turn into shows. I found out like my roommate's watching one that is about volleyball.
Yeah, that's one. That one's really popular, actually.
That's what I heard. And so I can't imagine that one's like 100 manga issues. What do they call them?
Yeah, chapters.
Chapters, yeah. So maybe that's what comics is trying to, you know, do right now. Because
chapters are really short. It's like those 8 pages in like Action Comics, it feels like.
But how do you get them?
There's like apps. Okay. Shonen Jump, and it's like $2 a month.
Oh, okay.
And you get like whatever you want.
So it's just app distribution of like 8 pages?
Yeah. I mean, in Japan, you can get like the magazines, and it's just all in the magazines that come out like weekly or whatever, mm-hmm. which seems like a lot of fun. So it's all just like different issues.
Oh, okay.
Just, I think that's how either they used to do it or they still do it.
So like anthology kind of, but they're ongoing stories in the anthology?
Yeah.
I like that.
Like, it's like the Shonen Jump, like, magazine or whatever. Mm. And mine, like, my app just, like, lets me know when the new issue's out or new chapter's out and whatnot. And then I'm pretty sure there's more than one app, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's also buying it in trade and stuff like that.
Very interesting.
But as far as, like, getting, like, the latest issue when you're all caught up, that's, like, probably how to do it.
And then they publish in volumes.
Yeah, the volumes are, like, super behind right now, it seems like.
Really? Okay.
Because you have to, like, translate it and stuff. And
that's fair.
I guess.
Do they translate it for the app as well?
They do. You know, that was a bad reason. But no, like, I think Chainsaw Man has, like, it's like 114 chapters right now. And I think the volumes are only up to like 60, maybe.
Oh, wow.
You know, 60 issues. So
yeah, it's pretty behind.
Yeah, it's so weird. Nathan, not really news, but I saw an ad for it in a comic I was reading. Al Ewing. His next book will be Wasp, and it'll be be in the same vein as his Ant-Man book, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Tom Riley's doing the art, which sucks.
That does suck.
But I believe Cassia Nee will do a great job as well.
That sounds great.
That's coming in January.
We went to Disneyland this last week.
We sure did.
And after the Guardians ride, they were selling like the Ant-Man issues.
Cool.
You
saw it in the store?
It was like in the corner in like the bottom shelf, but they had like... It was like Thor, like a random Thor issue, and then like the recent like Ant-Man issues. I think it was only 4 issues, right?
Yeah, so that
over?
No.
I think it is.
You think it was 4 issues?
I think it's 4 issues, and I think the whole thing's over now, which is why I think this was...
Dang. That felt like it was really going to be like a 10-issuer, you know?
Yeah, no. Number 4 is out right now.
Okay, when did 5 come out?
Dude, 4 came out in October.
Jesus Christ.
I think I have all of them. I just need to read them. Oh, yeah. It's number 4 of 4 is what it says. So that's all of them.
Really? Wow. Yeah. I feel like I would have read it differently if I knew that.
Yeah. I would prioritize it a little bit more.
Might as well just read it all together.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So.
But Nathan, let's talk about our favorite books of the year. Talk about our nominations for the Trade Writers Awards.
Yes.
You have put no thought into this. I thought a little bit about it.
Okay. So. What are the categories?
First category.
Yeah, and then we'll dig deep in each one.
Best new Marvel book.
Yes.
And okay. I would nominate Ant-Man.
Ant-Man's definitely up there for me. Daredevil, I think, is up there as well. And Punisher for me.
Does Daredevil count?
Yes, because it's new. It started with number 1.
I don't like that.
Daniel, but I think what we need to consider is...
I'm not gonna vote for it.
The Amazing Spider-Man by John Romita Jr.
Oh, yeah. With their top-of-the-line covers.
Their top-of-the-line covers where his leg's broken. No, I haven't even read it. But Punisher was this year. And I'm still way into Punisher.
Sure.
So I think that's a pretty cool one.
I think Ant-Man's maybe the only one that we're both reading.
Yes, I think so. Let me see.
Doctor Strange is a little too soon to tell.
Yeah, but I mean, it is Trav Moore. So it's like...
We do like it.
We do like him.
But can you think of any other Marvel books that you bought?
Yeah, I think those are probably the best nominees, I would say.
Okay.
So of those.
And best new DC book.
Okay. I mean, there's one clear answer.
World's Finest?
Oh, wow. I was going to say Human Target.
No, that was like the winner last year.
Did it come out last year?
Yeah, dude. There's like a 6-month hiatus.
Nah. It's all not. You're totally right, I think.
There's World's Finest. There's World's Finest.
That's a great one.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking like Human Target. I'm like, it's just gotta be Human Target. No, Jurassic League is really good. There's Aquaman Andromeda that came out, which I really enjoy.
There's Chip Zdarsky's Batman. I think would count since it's like a new run.
Yeah, new run.
New creative team, what things else? Like that.
There's that Superman by Mike Allred. That was out this year. I read the second issue of that. Still pretty good. Bit long form for me, but you know, they did a lot of like DC versus vampire stuff this year for some reason, you know?
Yeah, and they did the zombie one.
Yeah. I wonder if that's any good. I started reading DC versus vampire and I was like, this is all right.
I read the first issue and I'm like, this isn't necessarily executed the way I thought it was going to be, and it is still good, but I didn't move forward with it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think we kind of know.
Yeah.
The books that we like.
We'll think about it, you know, ponder a little bit more.
Yep.
For next year or next week
episode. Best officially. New indie book. I think 8 Billion Genies is definitely in the conversation.
I really enjoy that book a lot.
Do a Power Bomb.
I think that's a very strong one as well.
Did you realize that it ended at issue 7?
No.
Did you? Are you just learning this from me telling you?
Yes.
Yeah, it's over. Like, that was it.
Dude, that guy is so good at what he does.
Yep.
Daniel
yep.
Warren Johnson. He steals my heart every single time. My name is in the second issue, so yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Your letter.
Yeah.
And
so I'm a bit biased, perhaps, but what else has come out this year that I'm reading? I'm enjoying I Hate Fairyland 2. I'm enjoying Chroma, but that's like super, super new stuff. I'm trying to remember what else I've been picking up. I think it's just 8 Billion Genies.
That might be...
It's like the longest one I've picked up for this year.
That might be the favorite going in.
I think so.
Place your bets.
Public Domain, but technically not.
Ooh, good book.
Oh.
Good book.
Step by Bloody Step came out this year.
Another vampire book?
No.
You team Edward, Nathan?
It's not a vampire book.
Oh, no.
That's the silent comic.
It's Bloodstained Teeth. Sorry.
Yes, that's also one. And I'm enjoying that way more than I should. Night of the Ghoul? That wasn't this year, was it? That was last year.
No, huh? That was last year.
Clementine, book one.
Mm.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
That is a good one.
And I think that's it. Yeah.
Nathan, what is the best trade that we have reviewed? And why is it Saga?
Oh, that was this year. Holy shit.
I can give you some time to think about it.
That is really good. I did enjoy this week's episode or this week's book. Kiss Zombies has got to be up there.
Kiss Zombies is like a very close runner up for me.
So that's got to be
as far as like enjoyment or just overall great experience.
We did Groot.
Did Groot. Kick-Ass was a lot of fun.
Kick-Ass was fun. We had Berserker with my girlfriend on. That's got to be up in the running at least.
Right. We did a lot of good books, a lot of good reading this year.
Did Usagi Yojimbo? Are you going to do our Ooh. Boy Stan Sakai like that? And just not even consider him? Dial H for Hero we did this year.
Oh, that was fun.
That was a lot of fun. So we had some good ones this year, some bangers. Powers.
Oh, yeah.
With Thor, Mike. God of Thunder.
Oh.
Not All Robots. The Good Asian, also really good.
True.
And our favorite, Werewolf by Night.
Of course.
So we got a lot to choose from there, but probably Saga, I guess. And then, but let's think of a runner up, I think, because
okay,
it's a little tough. It's like
you really liked Superman for All Seasons,
dude. I loved that book a lot. Yeah,
that was a good one.
That is one that I did fuck with.
Yeah.
So those are our nominees.
I forgot we read Savage Dragon.
Oh my God.
In my mind,
that was forever ago.
In my mind, I know nothing about Savage Dragon.
Still don't.
That scene that reminds me that I know things. You know?
I cannot tell you one thing about Savage Dragon.
Harry Arms. Moving on. Best Nacho series, Nathan. My nominee would be The Naughty List that we read just last week.
It did come out this year, huh?
I thought it had a very strong first issue. And even though it wasn't a great first issue, it was the best of the four, being the definition of a nacho series.
The thing with that for me is that I didn't really like the first issue either.
Okay. Yeah, I understand why you don't. But I feel like as far as following the formula of a nacho series, like I had hope after the first issue.
For sure.
And then it just dragged me through the dirt the rest of the way.
Yeah. You know? It's hard because I haven't read anything super far. And so it's tough to know what was like a nacho series, I think.
Yeah. I guess it could be like any of the books that you've like picked up, but then like didn't buy the second issue.
About.
You know? But then again, like we don't read exactly the same stuff. So it can be kind of tough.
I think it's just going to have to be The Naughty List, to be honest.
If you have
like, it could have been good. And like I looked at the menu and I saw nachos. That sounds great. And then, you know, I started eating it and I was like, okay, Now we can get into the good stuff, and then it was never good.
Yeah.
For me, at least.
Yeah, so I'm gonna
dig a little deeper on that one specifically.
I wonder if we can come up with a different name for a series, being deceived by the cover. You know? Yeah.
Judging the book by a cover.
Yeah.
So,
and then
I'll think about that a little bit more, but what else we got?
We have best writer, Nathan.
Dana Warren Johnson.
Definitely a big contender.
I think King is always up there.
Tom King always comes out with stuff.
I didn't love everything that he did this year.
Most people don't.
There's that Batman that I didn't really like.
Killing Time,
yeah.
Batcat.
I guess that was this year.
Came out with Danger Street.
I haven't read that yet.
Neither have I.
Looks pretty good.
But I'm sure it's fine.
But what else we got? We got Tom Taylor.
Yeah.
Doing some Nightwing stuff.
A lot of Nightwing. He did, was Dark Ages this year?
Dark Ages was this year?
Ish.
I think so.
And then it doesn't matter. It's just it was a part of this year.
Yeah, it was a part of this year for sure.
He did the Knights of Steel.
Yep. I want to read all of that. I just haven't yet.
Yeah.
I bought that sweet 1-3 mini trade. And I was like, oh, I'm going to keep reading. And then I never did. So yeah, he's pretty good. What do we have on the DC?
Jeff Lemire do some stuff.
He did, the Thousand Black Feathers, the
horror Bone stuff. Orchard
Mythos. Yeah.
Was May's book this year?
No.
No?
Mm-mm. Yeah, Chip Zdarsky.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying his stuff. I like that he's on Batman. I like that he's on Daredevil.
Yep.
Did an event the same this character. Year.
Did an event.
Yep. And then Public Domain and Captera and all the stuff he's doing on his Substack.
Mm-hmm. It's Nathan, best penciler. Got to put Dan Mora, I think.
I think Dan Mora is going to be way up there.
Dan Mora is a delight. We also have Jorge Jimenez, not just because of his good looks, because of his good-looking art.
His good-looking Batman.
Yeah, good-looking Batman.
Because that was also this year.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Now he's doing some Mark Miller stuff, I believe.
That'll be next year, but yes.
Yeah, Dan Mora is one I think that's really just fucked me up this year with how good everything he does is.
Right.
Obviously, we have Sorrentino for some stuff. Christian Ward's been doing some stuff.
Yeah.
I always like him. I don't know. It's hard to put a penciler down because a lot of artists, I feel like, are digital at the big two.
Sure.
But
you know, art kind of thing.
Yeah, sure.
So.
Tom Riley.
Yeah.
I want to buy one of his pages. I was looking at that this weekend.
I did see one for the villain in Malignant, and it was under $200.
Ooh.
And I'm like, I should buy this.
I know, dude. It's so tempting.
It's not a very the character just doesn't have a lot of detail to him. What are you doing? Don't look it up.
I'm not looking it up.
What are you doing?
I'm looking up 10 comic book artists you should be following in 2022.
No, but yeah, it would be cool to have the artwork, but I'm saying it's probably not the best
sure
art piece, you know, just because it's just a lot of black, you know.
Mm-hmm. Clay Mann, of course.
Oh yeah,
he's doing some incredible stuff. Elsa Charretier, she did Love Everlasting and stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Nathan, this is where it gets a little hard.
Okay,
but last year we had best inker.
Yes. I need to definitely think about this.
Okay.
Inker. Yeah. It's hard to say. J.P. Mayer did Vanish. So.
Oh, true.
Who won last year. I'm totally back. I need to look up inkers for, some of the stuff reading this week. But
we'll look into the stuff that we bought this year and
and see who's been inking, I guess.
Yeah. And then best colorist, Nathan.
Yes. I think that one should... For me, I think would be Mateus Bergera, who did. Sorry, I keep for Matthew Slopez. I don't know which one's the artist, and which one's the colorist, but whoever is the colorist on Step by Bloody Step, I think that's probably the most beautiful book this year for me.
Okay, I'll flip through it.
Who colors Dan Mora? Because it's always spot on. Is it him that does it? I don't think it is.
I don't know.
Tamara Bonvillain.
Oh,
she's great.
Yeah, she's on a ton of stuff.
Yeah. A million things.
Is it Bonvillain or something?
Bonvillain, something like that. Yeah, so she's a colorist. She complements Dan Mora perfectly, and I think that's awesome. So she'd be pretty good. I can click on her name and see what else she's been doing. She's been on some Wonder Woman, Son of Kal-El this year. Oh, that's another thing Tom Taylor did.
Oh, right.
This year, Infinite Frontier, she's on. We always have Jordy Belair.
Yeah.
I know she's on Nice House on the Lake because she blew me away. And who's the guy that colors for I Hate Fairyland again?
Oh, I don't know.
It's like a French name, Francois Ballou or something like that.
Oh, okay.
He's pretty good too.
Sick. Do you want to add any categories to the Trey Raiders Awards? I feel like that kind of covers the bases, you know?
I think a big popular thing that's been going on has been those magazine-sized books. Maybe we could do like a Best Mag.
Best Prestige or whatever?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Oh, Best Magazine?
Like Boom's doing them now.
Really?
Yeah, like remember the guys that did the DC Black Label Batman thing where you see Lil Wayne?
Yeah.
They're doing another one of those.
Brian Azzarello?
Or like the... Oh, maybe it wasn't him. No, the artist for that, Lee Bermejo, is with Mattson Tomlin.
Ooh, cool.
And they did a prestige format comic with Boom.
Yeah, like, so there's like...
It came out like last week, I think.
There's like One Dark Night, and then there's...
Yeah, One Dark Night, Andromeda. Aquaman Andromeda. I think there was like a...
I feel like DC kind of corners the market with this, but...
Sure. I mean, the Lobo Superman came out.
Suicide Squad Get Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Which might have been... No, I think that was this year too. That'll be kind of...
They got a few. I think there was a Wonder Woman one as well.
For sure.
So...
Okay.
Maybe we could add that one.
Best Prestige. Best DC Prestige.
Yeah, it's pretty much only going to be DC because I haven't read any other ones, but... All right.
And yeah. Let's just get into the book.
We read comics, don't we?
We sure do. What comic did we read?
This week, Daniel, we read... One Star Squadron by Mark Russell, Steve Lieber, some other people probably.
And this is the gift that I got you.
Yeah, this is your gift to me for Christmas, Daniel.
Nathan, how satisfied were you with your gift?
I think this book is phenomenal, and it has no right to be. But it's everything I love in comics, pretty much.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I think that this was so good, and... It just catches you off guard with kind of like how good it is. Not because I didn't
think
have faith in like Steve Lieber or Mark Russell, who I love with like everything they do pretty much.
Yeah.
But with like the concept of the book and stuff like that, you're like, okay, this is kind of fun. Like, I think at first they draw you in because it almost feels like The Office, but for like superheroes.
Yeah.
And then they crushed me at the end.
Right.
But in like a happy way.
Mm-hmm. Happy question.
And that's hard to do, I think.
Yeah.
You make people sad, you know, kill a dog.
I really wasn't sure how this was going to wrap up, but it wrapped up super well.
It like floored me. I was like, this is amazing. I took screenshots of certain panels already because I was like, this hurts me because of how cool it is, how good it is. So
this book even kind of broke a rule for me and kind of made me okay with it.
Okay.
You know how... They just take, sometimes books take too long with wrap up. The last issue was
all wrap up. But it was, it felt great.
Yeah, it was good. Because normally I'm like, four pages, that's normally like a good kind of thing. But this is like a whole issue. And I'm like, Jesus
Christ. So you think four pages of wrap up is good?
Yeah.
That seems very rushed to me.
It might even be too long.
Yeah.
Some books have one page of wrap up. It's awesome. Like,
and then everyone died in the end.
Or to be continued.
Yeah, pretty much. And this like ended with issue 6, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's like a self-contained trade paperback.
Yeah, which is just so satisfying.
Which makes a great gift.
Especially after last week when, you know, that was everything, but it really wasn't. And so this is everything and it really is. And it's awesome. But like, what's crazy is that the main character is Red Tornado. And I think this is the most human book I've ever read, almost, because like...
And it's about an android.
The main character is an android. Mm-hmm. So I do think, obviously, like the One Star Squadron, they have that name because they're superheroes that are not popular. I haven't heard of most of the people that you're not supposed to really hear of.
Yeah.
I know of Red Tornado because of Young Justice and some other comics I've read with him in it. I would say that...
I know Power Girl.
I do know Power Girl, yeah, but I think he does that so that he can kind of make the characters that he needs for this.
Sure.
I think Red Tornado is tweaked a little bit for this because he's just like a guy.
Yeah.
You don't really see him as an android. Doesn't really do android things. And
he's
normally like
pretty androidy.
He's normally like pretty vision.
Yeah.
I would say. And this, he's literally just a guy. But then he, like the android things that he does is like, do I have a soul? You know?
Right.
But I think everybody kind of thinks about that. It's kind of.
Nathan, so. this is definitely a Mark Russell book.
100%.
It had his kind of like charm in it, and it's definitely a Mark Russell concept, it felt like.
Yeah, and there's a lot of gags in there.
Right, which he loves.
Which I think both Steve Lieber and Mark Russell are really good at. I know Steve Lieber is just because of what I've read from his Jimmy Olsen stuff.
Oh, right.
But there's like tons of like visual gags, tons of like little like gags in there that I think are perfect and I've written down, and they are why I enjoy reading comics, because like in like a TV show or something, like those gags are like very like apparent, I feel like, or they like they take time out of like the actual narrative to like tell you this joke pretty much. But in comics, like the whole story can be going on and then there could be something in the background and you're like, that's fucking funny.
Yeah, as long as you just look at it long enough, you can catch it.
And it's like, oh, it's good commentary or whatever.
Do you think I'll enjoy Thanos Wins as much as you enjoyed One Star Squadron?
It's very possible.
Wow. Okay.
But for different reasons.
Sure.
It's not like Thanos Wins is a commentary on capitalism.
Right.
but I think it's still a very entertaining
book. Maybe not as smart as a book, but you're a much smarter reader than I am.
You know, I don't think Ghost Rider can get this, you know, sentimental or you know.
Right. And
but
this artwork really is so clean.
He's amazing.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know what else he's done, though, outside of Jimmy Olsen. I think that was my first.
Steve Lieber sounds familiar.
He's definitely done things. And so I feel bad even saying that. I don't know what he's done. Apparently, he's going to be part of the new Golden Age with Geoff Johns and Mikhail Janin at some point.
Neat.
Superman Red and Blue, he did some stuff.
So maybe not a whole lot of full series?
I guess not.
Huh. Well, he's off to a great start. And there's a great slogan for this book. Superman level service at bizarro prices.
See, that's an amazing line.
Yeah.
So I think that's great. So let's get into it, Daniel.
Alrighty.
So
actually, before we get started,
sure.
I saw a page that Tom King posted of his book Heroes in Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how they did like the little like headshots and everyone's like talking about why they're depressed and whatnot.
Yeah.
There was one and it was Red Tornado. And he was talking about how he was thinking about like starting a family.
Yeah.
Which I thought was insane that how that kind of just so happened to go into this.
Yeah, because
I'm sure Mark Russell didn't look at that and then, spinoff, you know?
Yeah.
It just so happened to be what he did, you know?
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so.
So, yeah, I wonder if like.
There was no.
Definitely nothing in between Crisis and this to where he would have a family, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's. Any origin story to his relationship and his marriage.
Okay.
Which I would read the shit out of.
I totally would.
But
he's done some Superior Foes of Spider-Man. He did some Whiteout with Greg Rucka. That was like a series that he did. It's on Comixology Unlimited. It seems like a snowy thing. The Fix is something that he did with Nick Spencer. Seems like he collaborates with him a lot.
The Fix?
The Fix.
Hold on. Let me see the cover.
Yeah,
The Fix. Dude, I read this. I know him. Yeah.
What is this? It looks like a buddy cop thing.
A story of the crooked cops, scheming mobsters, and corrupt politicians that run things, and the sex toy that can bring them all down.
Wait, what?
Oh, and the hero is a drug-sniffing beagle named Pretzels.
Oh, okay, good.
Bad people do things to each other in this frenetic, outrageous, sometimes off-putting new chapter.
Hmm.
So I read this a couple years ago because I was trying to find like a comedy book to give like Aunt Dawn for Christmas, and it was good and I did enjoy it, but I didn't think she would like it.
Yeah.
Because this is kind of a book that comes up when you look like comedy books and things like that.
Okay, this is a random one that he's been a part of, but I've definitely read it. It's Convergence Green Lantern / Parallax. Remember Convergence?
Oh, God. No, I avoided it completely.
I read the whole thing and I was like, pretty good. It was like my first, I think it was like close to like one of my first events. And I'm like, I love this.
No, there's surely stuff before that.
Civil War Frontline, I guess he did a couple issues on. So I've read that as well.
Hmm.
Some Hawkman, Event Leviathan. It seems like stuff that's like specifically his is mainly Superior Foes of Spider-Man, The Fix, and Whiteout, and then Jimmy Olsen.
Right.
So I would love to see more from him, to be honest.
His like artwork is so like polished, it seems. Like he definitely, I can almost like imagine like what his like process is like. Like kind of doing the pencils and then the inking, and then just the inks are just so clean that it just adds a lot to the artwork for me.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, let's get into it. Let's stop talking about how great he is. But he is definitely a highlight of this book for me.
Oh, Dave Stewart could also be a colorist nominee.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's always up there.
He's always. So yeah, issue one, Daniel. So it opens up with an ad for Heroes for You, which is the... Like, it's a new Workshare app that is pretty much just DoorDash, but for superheroes.
Yeah.
So you could just go on the app, order a superhero for whatever sort of thing you need, a security detail, whatever it is, birthday parties.
Yeah.
And so this is being watched by a guy named Gangbuster, who is in, like, a medical facility that's clearly, like, not okay, like, mentally. Like, he's got some memory loss and stuff like that.
Right.
And at the Heroes for You office, Red Tornado is managing the office, dealing with an upset Minuteman who can't get work because his powers only last a minute.
Yeah.
He's not the only one that can last a minute, am I right? Yeah, we high five.
I wish it lasts a minute.
That sounds great.
How's it last that long?
I think that's such a funny power.
That is very funny.
It's something that a comic book writer would think of and be like, we need to explore this.
Isn't that how like our man's like powers work?
I don't know.
Remember in Minuteman, JLA?
Did Minuteman walk so that our man could run a marathon in an hour?
I don't think so. But anyway. Oh, you can also do cameos on this app. You can order cameos from your favorite superhero that works here.
Is that something they said?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
They didn't say cameos specifically, but... That's what they meant.
Oh, okay. One of my favorite things
said personalized video appearance.
Oh, that's so, definitely a cameo.
Yeah.
I think it's funny in this scene when Red Tornado's like thinking about like being a hero and he's like talking with Superman, and then Minuteman like snaps him out of it and he's like, "Are you in a flashback?" Yeah. And I was like, that's amazing. That's peak comedy.
I guess Red Tornado needs to eat because he's eating like a burger and fries.
Yeah. I guess an android would. Like an android's supposed to pretty much work the same as like a person.
Says who?
Like, that's the difference between, like, an android and, like, a robot. You know, like...
I thought android just looked more like a person.
Androids typically have, like organs and stuff. They're just, like, not... They're just not, like, people organ, you know, right?
You mean, like... When I think android, I just think iRobot?
No, I think...
Which is a great movie that I can't enjoy as much.
When I start Googling it, it's difference between android and the first one is an iPhone.
Yeah, on that one, you get the get the green bubbles.
But in my head, like... An android has like, you know, blood vessels and shit like that.
Good
that
example.
Like resembles people.
Good example is Dragon Ball Z. You know,
sure,
like,
yeah.
Like Android 17 or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically human. I'm pretty sure like Krillin like marries one or something.
Yeah. So it's like you can
how that works.
You're pretty much person, you know.
Right.
Just without the idea of like a soul.
Mm-hmm,
so anyway.
Moving
on. That's what Red Tornado is.
There is a disclaimer at the end of their ad. They're like commercial. It says not an escort service, and I thought that was funny.
Yeah, that's good to elaborate. So Gangbuster gets dropped off by a taxi in front of the Heroes for You HQ, but again, he doesn't really remember anything, so he doesn't know where he lives or what his name is. And Red Tornado takes him to his house to help him out, which is where he discovers that this guy is Gangbuster, and he's likely amnesiac from his ability to take a punch in the head. He's got like an iron head, I guess. And
but not an iron brain, Nathan.
Not an iron brain, nope. And he has an outbreak in Red Tornado's house, which causes him to stay the night at the Heroes for You office.
Yeah, he just punches a picture, no big deal.
Yeah, but he's like freaking out because he sees like a picture of a thing that Red Tornado did, and this person with blood on their face, which remembers, you know, triggers something in him. So
right.
But it seems like a very real thing that would happen to somebody that is known for like being able to take a punch.
Yeah,
like multiple concussions and stuff like that. Like, that's fucked up.
Yeah, he'll survive, but
and so it sucks that he's just kind of like being left places, you know.
Yeah,
when he's like trying to do good. And I think that that's a common theme, and like this whole thing is like, why is being a hero like worth it if we're risking our livelihoods and like our bodies pretty much. So I think that's a cool theme that's gone throughout the book. And I just love this like little panel where Red Tornado's walking with Gangbuster and he says, come with me. Everybody belongs somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like so nice. Like that's just the most, that's like 10 times more empathetic than like most people. Right.
So right.
It's just cool.
I like how Red Tornado, like Wikipedia's Gangbuster to kind of figure out who he is. You know?
Yeah. It's like actual Wikipedia.
Back at the office, we see a Power Girl in like some work clothes.
Yeah. She's in some professional attire.
And I'm a little ashamed that I didn't realize that it was her right away until someone said Power Girl or something.
Oh, really?
I'm like, no boob window. I just don't know.
It's unrecognizable.
Yeah. I'm like, who is this person?
That's fucked up.
I know.
Yeah. So we're introduced to Power Girl along with Heckler, G.I. Robot, which is a funny name, and then Flying Fox. So Power Girl is like listening to an audiobook that pretty much convinces her throughout this book that like money is the way of the world and not really like doing good for others, because like the whole capitalistic part always prevails. So she's listening to an audiobook from Maxwell Lord, who's like one of the...
Hey, Nathan.
Love the segment.
We're back to the famous segment, Who the Fuck Is That?
Okay, here we go.
And do you know any of these people?
No.
Who's Maxwell Lord?
Maxwell Lord I think he's the guy that was in the Wonder Woman 84.
Oh, is it?
That's Maxwell Lord. So he's like businessman pretty much.
Yeah.
But not, and then he like gets into like magic and stuff or whatever ends up being. But yeah, he's like a business guy. So
who is Power Girl?
Power Girl is a Kryptonian.
From like a different dimension or something?
Who knows?
Isn't Supergirl Superman's cousin?
Yeah, I think that's right. I don't know who Power Girl is, though.
I don't see why...
Like, I know of her. I don't know why she's... Is she Kryptonian?
Yeah.
Yeah, she has to be, right?
Right.
So, I don't know. I think different dimension sounds right, but I don't know specifically. But I do not know Heckler. I do like his design.
I wonder what he would be used for, you know?
I have no idea. G.I. Robot is funny to me. He seems like an original character, but again, I don't know if any of these people are like original for this book or if they are just so deep in like the Z list stuff that they just like picked them.
I wish like in the back matter, there could have been like a couple different rosters, you know, for this book and things like that. And just kind of how Mark Russell got to using these characters, you know, and like,
yeah, that would have been cool.
Yes, for this guy, but they're on this other book or whatever, you know, like that's, I think with these things, with all these like lower level heroes, that's the most interesting part.
Yeah, like, why him and not, you know, somebody else?
Yeah, why not more recognizable characters?
Why Flying Fox jump out at you?
Right. Yeah.
So one thing that is weird is that Plastic Man is in this book and he's like, but I feel like he's pretty like somewhat high tier, I guess.
Yeah, I mean you haven't seen him in a minute except for like some holiday specials.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think it was more like he's a top dog here.
He'd be top dog in this
level.
He's
like
most
like requested, you know? And so I think
he's a Smurf.
Right. He's nice. He's got a good life here, mm-hmm. but not necessarily like good enough to be in like the Justice League for some reason.
Yeah.
Which is a bloody crime.
Yeah. One of the visual gags I like is this one where like it's explaining how Power Girl is like a little bit clouded in judgment right now with her like audiobook and stuff. And she's like walking and there's like all these Lex companies, like the Lex Corp. And then he's also got Lex News, which is clearly Fox News,
mm-hmm.
or Lextel for Intel, or Lexflix, which is the best one.
And it's
all green.
It's so funny.
I love how green everything is from him.
Love it.
But yeah, I thought that was pretty good. So yeah, Gangbuster has to sleep on a futon in the Heroes for You office, and Power Girl is gunning for Red Tornado's job because the audiobook's like, you got to take down whoever's in your way or whatever. So one thing that did happen in this, I'm a little confused about, they tried to go to where his last listed address was and there's a girl there and she's like, I don't know who this is. Is that his wife?
Maybe a wife, maybe like a nephew or a niece.
Niece or something.
Maybe a daughter even.
Because she says, no, I don't know who this is. And then it pans back later and it seems like that's Gangbuster like on framed pictures on the wall and stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know like
so what clearly like family that had to just kind of let him go
with this.
Because he was like, you know, violent when he had his outbreaks and just like they just kind of had to abandon him.
Yeah.
And so
Which
I
sucks.
thought
that was, which is tough, interesting. As well. Yeah. She's clearly like feeling bad about it. And so, I don't know. It's just tough. So yeah, that's it. She won. Lots of cover in there. I think they did a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
Issue two, Minuteman is getting dealt Miraclo pills, which allows him to access his power.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand that. Like, is he just a guy and then he just takes these pills and he's a superhero because of the pills?
Maybe.
Because that's just a guy, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess, like, he could still brand himself as a superhero.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if he had that power before, and then it's kind of...
Like, does he need the Miraclo pills, like a Viagra, almost?
Right,
like,
to get it up.
It's always in him.
To get his powers up.
He just needs to get up for a minute.
Yeah.
So, he gets dealt these Miraclo pills, so he can continue being Minuteman, which later backfires on him when he gets injured at a birthday party after only being a hero for 45 seconds. And then at the office, Red Tornado stumbled upon a big security detail request that, like, the office people are sort of fighting for a spot for. And that kind of gives Power Girl the chance to start manipulating people to help overthrow Red Tornado. She's like, oh, I would have picked you two easily.
Yeah.
So, and I like when Minuteman's at this birthday party and he's like, I'm legit. Like, I have a picture with Superman. And, like, the picture of Superman, Superman's clearly like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah. He didn't ask for the picture. Yeah.
It's very clear that, like, he was not consensual in this picture. And so, yeah. I think that's pretty funny.
I guess Minuteman had like a cheap movie in the 90s that he was in, and some people recognize him, you know?
It, yeah. And he's like, I was played by this guy. And people were like, I don't know who that is either.
Yeah.
So Minuteman asks for some more work and only gets like a convention appearance, which also backfires on him because he got stuck in Comic-Con detention, like a detention room, when he was in the VIP room without proper access.
Mm-hmm.
And then Minuteman calls Red Tornado to like break him out, but the office is like petitioning a change in leadership. So that's right. Like the whole issue. I love that the person that told Minuteman about the VIP room is Mark Russell at the convention.
Yeah.
And it's like himself. He's got like his own,
banner,
the banner, but like the, one of the books that he did.
Flintstones.
No, it's not Flintstones.
Yes, it is,
it's
dude.
It's Snagglepuss.
The Snagglepuss Chronicles?
Yeah. He's just kind of like plugging his own work. That genius, Mark Russell.
Nathan, I thought we could have a little bit of fun speaking of the Flintstones.
Okay.
And I will bring this up again when we inevitably read the Flintstones.
Mm-hmm. Which we should do.
Do you know what the Mandela Effect is?
Yes.
And so we're going to do that, but with the Flintstones, I need you to tell me which one is correct. Is it the Flintstones or the Flintstones?
I think it's the Flintstones, isn't it?
With a T?
Yeah, with two T's.
Yes, you're correct, Nathan.
Okay, but if you were to tell me, like, spell out Flintstones, I wouldn't add the extra T, but looking at it, like, Flintstones makes more sense.
Right. Because that always fucks me up, especially because...
Is that what the book title is, too? Like, Flintstones? I would assume it's
spelled correctly.
Okay. That's crazy.
Because it is, like, a Hanna-Barbera property.
Yeah, exactly.
So I imagine spelling it right is probably a part of the deal.
I would imagine.
They don't have like the title in it, but it's just like the artwork in the
back.
But
maybe they would have wanted to do it the other way, because if people are Googling Flintstones, they wouldn't get the book. Or if they spelled it incorrectly in the book, when the people are Googling Flintstones, they're like, oh, you must mean this.
I think if, regardless, the book will come up eventually, you know?
Yeah, fair.
But yeah, I read that. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Plastic Man was like one of the security details at the thing.
Yeah, who's the other person?
No idea.
Just Firehawk.
Firehawk?
Yeah.
I like that there's a competing app called Hench, which is for villains, and like Sportsmaster is there.
Yeah.
And his specialties are security, assassination, and coaching youth sports.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good. So a lot of good gags. So issue three... Superman meets the Heroes for You board and questions the ethics of the app, which later gets proven correct when later in the issue, a guy named Jack-O-Lantern abandons people drowning in the ocean for an urgent hero request.
Which ended up being like a Halloween party.
Which is a Halloween party, yeah.
They were like surge prices.
You need to answer now.
They were like surge prices because it was like Halloween or whatever.
Yeah.
And Jack-O-Lantern, I imagine, would be pretty popular around that time.
Yeah, and it's like, you need to come now. So I thought that was pretty good. And so, which, I mean, Superman does bring up a good point. I could see like kind of both sides, because if you like need a hero, you don't really have access to like getting a hero, right?
Yeah.
But obviously capitalism takes over that. And so they have a sales department, which is not super ethical.
Yeah.
I guess, or can be pretty unethical pretty quick. But, and then Minuteman is given one last chance with like a, a basic signing that he was requested for specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And then Superman pulls the Justice League funding from the Heroes for You app. So the board wants Red Tornado to lay off half of the staff, starting with Power Girl, which is a tough situation to be in.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks that Red Tornado is like still like he's still like helping Gangbuster like find an apartment and stuff, knowing that he like he thought he was going to lose his job at like that point because he was being called to the board of directors.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, fuck, this sucks. And it like weighs pretty heavy on him. But he's like, I also got to help Gangbuster. So he's like constantly helping others.
Mm-hmm.
So it just all feels like a lot. And I definitely empathize with him. So issue 4, Red Tornado has to break the news to his wife on what he has to do. Apparently he has to like pay everybody with cash that like in the meantime that like
a severance kind of thing.
Yeah, pretty much. And he's also worried about Gangbuster since the company is like paying for his rent, which is like part of a charity initiative. So like if the company goes under, like Gangbusters doesn't have any options to live places anymore. So, and then eventually he tells everyone at the office, which begins everyone trying to suck up to him, like keep their job.
Mm-hmm.
Like becomes a competition. And I like the panel where they're all like lined up outside the office. And then one of the people is like, is this the line for trying not to lose your job? And I was like, that's pretty good.
When he goes to tell everybody about the layoffs, Heckler is like, is this the coffee for closers speech you're about to give?
I didn't understand that one.
I'll help you.
Is that the Alex Baldwin thing?
It sure is. Have you seen it?
I think I know what it is, but I've never seen the movie.
You don't have to. You just need to see this one.
It's
little
like the one
thing.
Scene.
The one scene.
It's like in an office.
Yep. They're these people that are selling like land, basically.
Okay.
Oh, it's kind of like a long ass video.
Like, yeah, he's like a good salesman or whatever, right?
He's like the better one.
Yeah. Okay. I think I've seen this. But like in a professional setting, which is kind of cringe. But anyway,
right?
He was looking good at this point.
Put that coffee down.
Oh my god, that's from this. That's in the book too. There's like the check marks and stuff. Oh my god, that goes deeper than I thought.
You call yourself a salesman, you son of a bitch. You gotta listen to this shit. You certainly don't, pal. Because the good news is you're fired. The bad news is you've got all you've got just 1 week to regain your job, starting with tonight. Starting with tonight's sit. It's 15 years.
What's your name?
Fuck you. That's my name. A, B, C.
Oh, I've heard that.
Always B, B, C, closing. Always be closing. Always be closing.
That's basically it.
That's such a good scene, though.
But yeah, that movie's called Glengarry Glen Ross. I haven't seen it. I've just seen that scene.
It's called Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the reference here is when he puts them all into the office. And so they think that he wants more sales out of them.
Okay. It is like a motivational kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
There's also this other super dumb like reference when Alec Baldwin was the boss baby. He smacked a cookie out of another baby's hands and he says, cookies are for closers. In the Boss Baby, and I remember watching that trailer in the movie theater, and I looked over at Dad because I knew he'd seen that movie.
Yeah,
and he's like, "Ah,
like who's that for?" Though, like
it's for the dads who are watching it with their kids.
Oh, and that gives them a little extra like jazz to go for like another 30 minutes because yeah, like, okay, yeah. That was a good joke.
You know how there's like adult jokes sprinkled in,
yeah,
to sure. Kid shit, but yeah, that I watched that video when I was doing sales shit and. Get you real amped up, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. So.
Anyway, moving on. I just wanted to see if you knew that reference.
I did know the movie. I didn't know that's what they were referring to, though.
Yeah.
So.
I like how Plastic Man is talking about how, like.
He's got his watch or whatever.
Yeah, he's got his watch. He's, like, quoting the movie. He's like, you see this watch? This costs more than your car or something like that.
And that's
like,
who I am. And you're nothing.
Yeah. And he makes like a watch imprint out of his wrist.
That's hilarious.
And it's a little gross. It looks like he has a watch under his skin.
Like, yeah. Oh, that is kind of gross. That's cool. I like that. That's, I mean, it is a pretty like good thing to reference. This is the only time you're going to reference that movie and superhero comics, I feel like.
Yeah. It was a very deep cut. Yeah. And I just wanted to know if you.
I'm glad that he got the opportunity to do it. That's, that might be why he made this comic.
In general. He's like, how do I quote this movie yeah. in this book?
And it's got to go in it. Yeah, I didn't even
Mark
realize.
Mark Russell, like, rest assured, we get it.
Because there's definitely the chalkboard in the office, too.
Is it?
Yeah, or it's not like a chalkboard, but it's like a thing. Does it look right here?
Yeah.
Like the October sales and stuff, like right. on top. So
if he just flipped it and it's like, always be closing.
It might be flipped at some point where it says that. But so, yeah, later Red Tornado decides that he refuses to fire anybody and he's going to go confront the board directly about this. And so while that's happening, Minuteman decides that he's not a hero and he's just going to go work in the sales department. And then on Halloween, Gangbuster has like another freak out when trick-or-treaters come by, and then that causes him to freak out and he starts like fighting the neighbors and then he runs away. So I like the furniture in Gangbuster's place. You know, obviously like he got the apartment from the Heroes for You company, but like he just had to figure everything else out. So
this is my furniture for many months.
I know, this is like the first apartment.
Yeah.
So, and then Red Tornado confronts the board and finds out that he doesn't need to fire people anyway now because the company was sold and it was bought by just a random seashell company. And then on his drive back to the office, he finds that everything's on fire and in flames.
Do you remember seeing like an employee bathroom sign?
Oh, all employees must stop crying before returning to work.
That's it.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, because Power Girl finds out she's been fired from like the board people because they thought that Red Tornado already fired her. So.
Yeah, the board tried to make it seem like she was like her eyes on the inside kind of thing. So she like called them frequently and whatnot.
Yeah, but secretly they didn't like her. So, and they really like Red Tornado for some reason because everybody hates him.
Yeah, and so it's easier to fire people.
How good is this fire? Daniel, on like the last page of this issue, like everything up in flames, it looks so good.
Pretty good fire.
Yeah, really good fire. So issue 5, the police are investigating the arson because they found like a gas can stuff to start the fire. And they're investigating Red Tornado, Power Girl, who was just fired, so she has motive. And then, you know, others in the office and stuff that might have a motive, but they ultimately find nothing, and then everyone in the office doesn't know who it was either. So Red Tornado suspects that it might be Gangbuster, who is like nowhere to be found right now. And he later goes back to the office to look around the rubble, which is when he meets Minuteman, who reveals that he's the one that burned down the place because the seashell company that bought Heroes for You is a shell company of Lex Luthor's. Amazing, by the way.
Got him.
Lex Luthor bought the company because he wants access to Hero Records, and so Minuteman took it upon himself to burn the whole place down to avoid doing that. Mm-hmm. And then Red Tornado reveals that they found Gangbuster's body, like his remains, in the office as well.
Yeah.
So Minuteman accidentally like manslaughtered a person trying to protect the data, I guess, in information of other heroes, which is such a wild turn for this story.
Yeah.
Right. Like, there's just been a murder, and like people's livelihoods are all fucked right now. And it's like companies are buying other companies. The seashell company is so funny, by the way, because I did not expect anything. Like, I was like, okay, a seashell company. It's weird.
Yeah, why not?
And then it's like, it's a shell company. So that was amazing. It's so sad that like Gangbuster's place of comfort, you know, after he freaked out, was like the Heroes for You office.
Yeah.
And I love that comparison that, you know, Red Tornado thinks about, where he's like thinking of like startled deer. Like oftentimes deer get hit with cars because when they get startled, they try and run back to the place that they were most comfortable.
Yeah.
And so that's why they are like running back across the street after they see a car or whatever and get hit. So that's pretty much what happened here. Almost with Gangbuster, he's trying to find some sort of comfort,
right?
And there's some pretty incredible panels here that I wanted to point out. I think this one is especially sad when he goes back to the office and it's all burnt down, and he's just like, it's just like a high shot, and it's just Red Tornado thinking about whether he has a soul or not, and he's just like looking upon like all this destruction and stuff, and I'm like, why is this? Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
I looked at that panel and I was like, this is a fucking panel right here.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was really good.
And so then Terry's like freaking out, and what Red Tornado does is just like opens up the safe that had all that severance money in it and just gives it to him in his cape. And I'm like, I don't know if I give him all of it, you know, like
he gives it to him in his cape.
Yeah. He takes his cape off and uses it as like a bag kind of, and puts all the cash in it.
Oh my God. He doesn't even have a cape after this. That's crazy.
He's naked after this. Can you believe that?
That's the only clothing he has.
Yeah. It's covering up his butt. Now we can see his butt.
Yeah. Which is crazy. Cause it's obviously you know, he's a hero. He's like, you just turn yourself in. But like, he knows that he didn't mean to. And so he just kind of went across, you know, his better judgment and gives him the money to just like go disappear. Like he's giving him one last chance. Like he's always giving this guy second chances, you know?
Yeah.
But that's crazy.
There's also like a, I can't remember who was looking at it, but there's like a hero yearbook or something.
Yeah, it was. It's in Red Tornado's house when he's talking to his wife about it.
Oh, yeah.
I
was like, is that a comic?
I would love to see that yearbook just like in Back Matter. If he could just like.
This is like 2017 for some reason.
I wonder what happened in 2017 where Hawkman would be on the front, but.
Yeah, it's just like a headshot and like a little, their quote or whatever.
Which I would pay so much money for this.
I'd buy the shit out of that.
Yeah. It'd be so cool to see like who signed on like the back cover or whatever. Yeah.
I feel like Plastic Man would sign on like the crease or whatever and be like, I signed your crack or whatever.
Yeah. So good. And then Superman just writes Hags.
Yeah, basically.
So last issue 6, it's been 15 months since the office burned down. There's a scene where Red Tornado gets like a ridiculous amount of chili for Gangbuster, like before he died.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I just bought what I would have bought for myself, which I guess is just a lot of chili.
Probably. I bet if like you don't have any taste buds and you just need something to keep you going, canned food probably be the easiest way to go.
Yeah. Another gag in here is that there's Wonder Bread, but it's called Under Bread.
Yeah.
I don't really understand it, but that's a thing.
It's specifically the bottom slice for your sandwiches, you know?
Oh, okay. Got it.
It's like a bun, you know, the bottom one. It has no sesame seeds, things like that.
Okay.
Probably not, but.
So
there's a funeral for Gangbuster, and that woman that was at his last known address was there. And it's obviously kind of come out that she was family or whatever, but mm-hmm. they don't have to explain it. It's pretty
clear.
It's visually. Shown, not told.
Yeah. I think Superman's there, which is nice.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah. So
I don't know everyone else who is there. It's probably ambiguous, but
yeah. And since Red Tornado sort of returned to like normal hero work, sort of like around the city, so like the wind turbines for generating energy have like frozen over, and so he creates like a powerful wind or like a warm wind so that it'll melt them and keep them going, which in turn saves a lot more lives than like his best superhero day.
Yeah,
which I think is really nice. Like it's the thing that's not like heroic, right, but it still has such a huge impact, you know, just for like,
yeah,
pretty much like volunteering almost is what I would say this is.
Yeah. It's cause, the turbines like kept a lot of generators or whatever around the city going that also kept like hospitals going, you know? And so, you know, people that could have been in a critical condition, like were then saved because of his sort of thing, probably a seasonal kind of job that he has.
Yeah. And then he's like, you gotta get these weatherized, Gary. And he's like, okay, I will.
Thanks, he's also, Red. He could probably put out fires and shit, you know, and like,
there's a lot of use that I think you'd have, like, but it's crazy that like, this is the most action we've seen in this book pretty much.
Yeah.
And I've loved it up to this point. I didn't even realize that there was no action because everything's just so engaging.
Yeah. You did. Cause I, going into this, I was thinking like, oh, it's kind of like a reject team book or whatever. I'm like, sure. Let's go with that. Like some sort of Suicide Squad or whatever. But I was kind of happy about what it is, you know, like it doesn't have to be some punching and whatnot. You
definitely
know?
Not. And like, even when he's doing like all this, like kind of bittersweet, you know, ending sort of stuff, there's lines like when he's monologuing to himself, he's like, in the end, I suppose that's all anybody wants. Not someone out there saving the world from some giant spider, alien invader, or evil cabal of villains, but simply to keep the wheels spinning on the life they've come to know. And it's like super philosophical stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, this is so fucking good, dude. Yeah.
There's a Detective Chimp cameo. Did you see that?
No.
Okay, so he's in a doctor, and Minuteman had been reported dead, and he goes to the coroner's
to
check out, to identify the body, and he just go ahead and says, like, yep, that's him. He's dead.
Dude, I want a Detective Chimp Mark Russell book.
And there's a... Ooh.
Oh, that'd be so good.
That'd be so meta. But there's just a poster of Detective Chimp on the wall. It says, stealing from corpses is a crime.
Yeah. Which you wouldn't think, but...
I didn't even notice it until right now, so...
Yeah.
Don't feel bad.
And so, yeah, so he goes... He hears that Minuteman died on the news, and he goes to, like, confirm the body to the coroner. When he sees the body, he lies to the coroner and says, yes, that's him, but it wasn't actually his body, because he kind of, like, figures that... You know, if they think that's him and he hasn't come up yet, then he wants to like stay hidden. So
yeah,
he's still giving him like another chance as well.
Sure.
And then he then meets up with like his old coworkers.
Track him down.
Yeah, track him down, see if anybody's heard from him, you know, catching up. Heckler's doing stuff with Lex Luthor, I guess. Power Girl's back to being a superhero after she like remembers what being a hero is all about. She like saves somebody else from a fire. And then
G.I. Robot is teaching at like the hero school that they have.
Yeah. Which is interesting. I think there's like a billboard for like squad goals is what it said. I didn't really understand what that was, but
the hero then school.
He then gets like this crazy letter from Minuteman explaining that he is alive. He was super down on himself. He tried overdosing on Miraclo pills that he got from Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Which he would have succeeded, but he has a waterbed, I guess, which got a hole punctured and then was seeping into the downstairs neighbor's stuff. He gets lifted, like heli lifted, and saved. And it turns out that the helicopter pilot was his old drug dealer that he would get the shitty Miraclo pills from.
Yeah.
Who turned his life around, which then inspired him to start turning his life around, but using Red Tornado as like a sort of like an ideal or like a thing to remember, which hits so hard.
Yeah.
And so that's like how this ends. He just reads his letter and then he walks back into the house. And this last page fucking rips me apart.
Yeah.
I don't know like what it is about it. Because he sends him a picture of like the Heroes for You office people like out in front.
Mm-hmm.
And it's insane. So yeah,
super good.
I think it hits pretty hard because the whole time Red Tornado's thinking about like what it means to like be a hero, like what he's doing in the office, is that him being like a hero or like, you know, and all that. And so this just kind of confirms that just being good to others is like being a hero in your own way kind of deal. So
yeah,
it all hits pretty hard, to be honest.
He was, when he was struggling with all that, he was just, and he started to track down Minuteman, he was just trying to figure out that he made the right call. And he,
like giving him the money and stuff.
Yeah, and he did help somebody, you know, out of like all of it, you know.
And he used the money that he had to start up an ice cream shop for people.
Yep, for people who are want an ice cream while they're hiking. It's called Pine Cones. and he works in a giant pine cone building.
Good. That's amazing. That pine cone building probably costs like $40,000 as is.
I bet that idea took like 2 seconds to think of.
I love this.
It was a cool callback that like his drug dealer ended up being like a helicopter pilot, because he even like talked about that when he was selling the
it's
drugs.
Like the guy in the pink cowboy hat, which I think is so funny because Mark Russell is clearly like, how do I make this guy memorable in some way from the first issue to like the last issue?
I can't imagine he'd be able to wear that at work, but whatever,
you know, it's whatever. But yeah, because like the drug dealer is like, man, I gotta turn my life around or whatever.
Yeah.
I love this panel right here where it says, so the soft oblivion of being quiet, or sorry, before that he's like, though I suppose that's the fate that ultimately awaits us all, the soft oblivion of being quietly forgotten, of disappearing from a world that never really needed us in the first place. So it's like him, he's like really down on himself and he's just like walking away, and he's like not the most prominent thing in this panel. It's like the world, the empty sort of world around him, and he's like this small part of like this panel. And I thought that was a really like eloquently done on like Steve Lieber's part.
Yeah. Really, so it like executes like what the words are saying in the panel.
And so like that made me like super down in the dumps almost, because he's like not wrong by any means. And then he gets this letter and everything's very happy, bittersweet or whatever. And I'm like, this book's amazing. So
sweet. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. It's like one of those things I can't like recommend to people either, though. I feel like
it's definitely one of those ones like for us.
For people, I think, that, you know, read comics and, you know, they like their crazy action comics, but they also like some of the more like human stuff. Like I would recommend this 100% to anybody looking for something that's like not like traditionally superheroes, but is still a very good story. You know, it just happens to be in the DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely one of those. So
I think you get a lot more out of this being more familiar with a lot of things in comics, you know, and like kind of what the references are and things like that, and why this book is different, kind of because you know what's out there already.
Yeah, exactly. Does this book come out this year?
Yeah, I think the trade came out like a month ago.
Damn, this is a good book too then.
yeah.
Very good. So let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
So bit of a teensy weensy one. You know, it's like a couple pages, but
can't have it all, Nathan. You know, you get a good book or good back matter. Pick one.
That's all you get. There's rarely both. But I mean, we get like little bite sized parts of what we love in back matter. So we get one variant, which is a really good variant.
Yeah, it is cool.
Of Red Tornado in the Rain in front of the office. We get the character designs by Steve Lieber. So got some cool ones there, I would say, of Heckler, G.I. Robot, and then, of course, Red Tornado.
I like how there's a Roomba going around G.I. Robot.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Apparently, Heckler is like a dog or something. That was never
Yeah, why can't we have clear. A little bit of dog in here?
I want a little bit of dog.
That's yeah, just like a page of him at home or something.
This is 9.99 if there was a dog.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
He's like the bestseller, so like there could have been like a shot of him at his nice fancy home or whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. We get one of Minuteman and one of Gangbuster when he's all you know, in the hospital gown.
Yeah.
Chronic traumatic encephalopathy action outfit. Apparently that's what that one's called.
Mm.
And so yeah, that's the back matter.
Figure coming soon.
Yeah. That'd be sick. I'd buy that. I love Red Tornado. Like even more now. Like I always feel like he's been a character that I'm always excited to see because I know who he is. I think he's really cool in Young Justice.
Yeah, great in Young Justice because he's like, he's kind of like the leader
in like the bit. First or, season for sure.
He's like, kind of like babysitting them,
like sort of the stoic one.
Yeah,
of like the group. This is definitely like not none of that in there.
Yeah,
but I still love this version of the character. So
I do like when, you know, there's characters like that have that kind of freedom. You know, like it's just you write them how you want to write them.
Kind exactly.
Of thing. There's not like Batman just always how Batman is, you know.
Yeah.
There's not a bunch of room for interpretation. But for this, like he was able to fit for the book, you know.
And something I appreciate a lot about this book is it's worth it to read to the end just to see everybody's character arc. Because obviously if I had just read the first issue and I didn't like how he characterized Power Girl, there's a very clear reason that it is that way. And she ends where, how she like normally is kind of, mm-hmm. Cause like in the beginning, she's kind of let down from like the world and trying to be a hero. And she's gone onto this audiobook and she's like, well, capitalism is just like the way to go. And you got to take whoever else down and stuff. And so she kind of like lost her way until at one point she sits in front of like a Superman billboard. Mm-hmm. And then like some people need help saving. And so she saves them and that like reinvigorates her need to be a hero. And so I think that that's like a very small part of this book, but still very important to think about. And you wouldn't have gotten that if you only read like the first two issues.
Right.
So very good. I love Mark Russell, dude.
Yeah.
He's the GOAT.
Drew was asking me like why I was like picking this up. I'm like, I like Mark Russell and you know, I thought I'd give it a shot really.
Yeah.
Cause, he's like, that's a yeah, pretty good reason. Yeah.
I don't think Mark Russell's ever like let me down with anything either.
Yeah. So this is like kind of what, like 3 for 3 for me with Mark Russell books.
Cause we did Not All Robots.
Not All Robots. I've read the Flintstones.
Okay. I've not read that yet.
Okay. So. And then this, and I'm sure there's something else that I'm not thinking of. I remember after Flintstones, he did the Snagglepuss Chronicles.
Snagglepuss. I think he did Fantastic Four Life Story.
That's true. Yeah.
So that which I haven't read all the way through.
I think that trade came out today too.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. But he's been on some other stuff. He did like a book called Billionaire Island, I think.
Huh.
I forget what the publisher is, but it's the same one that does the After Earth books.
After Earth?
Yeah. Like it's like the book where
After Lift?
No. Because that's just Comixology. After Earth is like the book where there's like the Adam West Batman and the Nolan Batman, but they like cross universes or whatever.
Oh, Ahoy?
Ahoy. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm shocked you knew that.
Me too.
Have you ever read any Ahoy book?
Just that one. Mm. Did you ever finish that book?
No.
That's a Nacho series.
Really?
Yeah.
That sucks.
But that's like the pinnacle example for Nacho series.
Because that is such a good idea.
It was like the best number one. One of the best number ones I've ever read. Because I'm like, oh my God. And then that momentum got me to read the rest of it. And I'm just like, wow, this isn't as good.
Because it's like, just such a tasty first couple chips, isn't it? And you're like, oh yeah, man, I can't wait to read the rest of this.
Because I remember how excited you were to tell me about that book. And I read it. I'm like, wow, this is fun. And then I just finished it. I'm like, ah.
That's so annoying.
I'm pretty sure I bought all the issues and have them on my Comixology.
Fuck.
Probably in my hidden folder now.
Banger first issue. Oh yeah, the hidden folder thing just happened, didn't it?
Yep.
So very cool. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
Ooh, Nathan.
I'll go first. Because Minute Man made a pine cone stand at the end, I would rate it a gotta have it 100%.
In a waffle cone cup?
In a waffle cone cup with the chocolate and sprinkles on the rim, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying this one, you know?
I'll do a waffle cone love it, though. But lots of good stuff in there. I think what would have just put it over the edge for me, because comics are still comics, you know, and there's I would have appreciated just like one little fight scene, you know, like a little skirmish at that Lex Luthor meeting.
There's the gangbuster thing. He punches his neighbors.
He punches normal people.
You know, I agree, like Plastic Man's in this, but he doesn't do Plastic Man fighting at all.
I understand that this book does not need this, but that I would have appreciated it, and I would have been like, gotta have it. You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah.
And no one really calls them the One Star Squadron. They're mostly referred to like the Heroes for You app.
Yeah.
It would have been kind of cool if like maybe there was some disaster or something happening. But something to where like a lot of people need to be there, and so everyone's requesting it. So just all of them go there, and they're just this ragtag team that has to figure out how to make this work.
Okay. That's a good ending as well.
And it wouldn't have been like a Justice League kind of fight. It would have been like all these random heroes using their weird powers to try and somehow save the day, you know?
I will say that One Star Squadron was only mentioned like the first or second page.
Right. And
then, yeah, it is never referred to again. It would have been kind of nice if like there was a news article or like another like news channel thing where they're referred to again as like the One Star Squadron, and then, you know, Red Tornado takes a bit of pride in that or something.
But sure.
Yeah, I can see how that's a solid criticism.
Yeah, therefore by like the title, I was just like a little misled, but I didn't really look farther into it than other than just looking at the cover.
Yeah,
but
I think from
that's
the
also
action,
on me.
I think from the action piece, I do appreciate some good action. I think that can make or break a book, but I definitely don't think that this one needs it at all.
Yeah, which also adds to the writing, you know, yeah, being
it
like
speaks
there's,
to that
there's
and not, like Steve Lieber's acting ability on the page and stuff like that. I think that's all very strong in this. I didn't even realize there was really no fighting or action until I was like writing notes again. And I'm like, damn, there's like nothing.
Yeah, it is a very, very strong love it, but I can't quite put it at the,
all right,
gotta have it, you know?
That's fair. So very good.
So let's get into the pull list.
Yep.
Colin?
Shove it in your box.
I'm ready.
The pull list, the pull list. What did you shove in your box?
I had to go to the shop on the way here.
Yeah, start even later than normal.
Yeah. I was very busy today, but I picked up Chroma number 2, which I'm super pumped to read, by Lorenzo De Felici.
Oh, right.
Fuck Fairyland.
Wait, is it called Fuck Fairyland?
No, but they have it like an R-rated cover every time, and it says Fuck Fairyland on the beginning, which is why I thought it was called this initially.
Oh, okay.
So there's like an I Hate Fairyland cover of this, but it's not nearly as bloody.
Yeah, that's fun.
But I'm going to pick these up as often as I can.
Yeah, get all of them.
World's Finest, I'm a bit behind, admittedly, but sick cover.
Gotta get it.
And then what's the furthest place from here? Number 9, which has Spawn on the cover.
Right, let me see.
There's a bunch of like Spawn variant or like Spawn covers that I think they force people to do for some reason.
That's the most like out of place Spawn cover.
Yeah, because this is just like a post-apocalyptic, like very non-superhero book.
Yeah.
And it's just there.
That's funny.
I think they had one. I almost picked one up for the I Hate Fairyland one because they had it. Like, I think Scotty Young drew Spawn, but like in his normal style.
Oh,
yeah. Like, as I Hate Fairyland style, and I was like, this is pretty good.
Yeah, I think I've seen that somewhere.
But, yeah, so that's what I picked up this week.
I'm going to get World's Finest for this place, Fairyland.
Yep.
Did you read anything, Nathan?
No.
Okay.
I'm very busy. We were on a trip.
Yep, that's your excuse.
I watched the World Cup.
Oh, yeah?
I watched last 20 minutes, and I was like, this is pretty cool.
Can't wait for this.
Can't wait to do it again in four years.
Yeah. I guess the next World Cup's in America.
Yeah. It's going to be like 3 different places. It's like part in Canada, part USA, and part somewhere else, I think. But
I read the Trad Moore Doctor Strange number one.
Nice.
That shit's bananas.
It is. That's the best way to explain it.
Is his wife the colorist or something?
I
or his sister or something?
Don't know. Is it a Moore?
That, it is a Moore.
Really?
It's like Trad Moore and like Laura Moore or something. It's Heather Moore. They got to be related.
Dude, I don't know. Anyway.
But
so yeah, did you like it?
I would be, if I was his wife, I would be so fucking pissed to get his pages and he's just like, color it.
Yeah,
I'd be like, are you shitting me,
if
dude?
They are, yeah, if they are like married,
this that, book caused some problems,
so many fights. They're like, why did you put so many like,
why are there so many lines in the sky?
Who's looking at the sky?
Just make it blue.
Do I have to color every single one different? And he's like, yes,
yeah,
or we're divorced.
Yeah, lots of fun. It was exactly what I expected and more.
It's like very, you know, simple concept, I would say, but everything he does with it is so abstract that you're like, this is so complicated, you know?
And yeah.
I think he hits that line like perfectly.
I really don't care about the story. I'll read it. I'll read the words, but I'm here for the art. You
yeah.
know?
They could just have like an artist edition of this. I'd probably get the same out of it story wise.
Yeah.
And
it's like every single panel is like probably like its own page, you know, it's just shrunken down because of how much details in like every panel.
Yeah. And he gets so creative with just like the fighting and like the worlds and stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah. Been a big fan of his for a while, but he did Silver Surfer Black as well, which I think is equally as insane.
Hmm.
So very good.
I first saw him from like some of his covers and then Luther Strode, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I read Once Upon a Time at the End of the World.
Yeah.
And I like this a lot. This is cool.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, it's,
I found out this week because I listened to a podcast that he was on. He never does a podcast, but he was on Off Panel.
Yeah, I've heard him on a podcast, but go ahead.
But he said that there is going to be three different artists attached to this book across 15 issues. Each one gets 5 issues, I guess.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't realize that at first, but I think that's pretty cool. One of the people is going to be Nick Dragota, who did the Ghost Cage, which I'm excited for, but he's going to be on the third arc.
Okay.
So very cool.
That kind of bums me out because I really like this art. I'm like kind of already like attached to it.
I mean, you'll get 4 more issues.
Yeah, so. I know. But the concept is, you know, pretty simple, but I like it. And it's very fun dialogue. A lot of just random concepts in there.
I like the world.
Yeah.
And it's not like explain like how I got that way. I don't think that's important either, but it can be pretty much like assumed like what it is and what he's trying to say.
I love a post-apocalyptic thing.
And it's just like, there's just a bunch of trash everywhere. And it's like, this is where we're heading.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
The book's a little sad.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm a fan.
I just like the stuff with his parents, Maceo's parents. Man. And I'm like, oh, fuck, that sucks. Like,
it's so heavy.
It's so tragic that these are kids that have grown up like in this world, you know?
Yeah.
And they've been sort of locked away. I think there's a little bit of like, maybe like some COVID stuff in there, inspiration. I think it's hard to avoid at this point. But with anything people write. But really good all around. I like that it's like a, you know, a light in like a very dark world. It's like a fun, like sort of love story in this very tragic world. I like that juxtaposition. Yeah, so.
Definitely. Did you watch anything, Nathan?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, we had a very busy weekend. So.
Well, I guess that's going to be the show.
Yeah.
Next week. What are we going to read next? We're reading
My Present to You.
It's right here. Look at that.
It's Thanos Wins is the trade.
Thanos Wins
by Donny Cates. Don't tell me Jeff Shaw.
Yep,
I love Jeff Shaw.
Who's the colorist? We have
Blair.
No,
Stewart.
Actually, you might not get this one.
Who is it?
Antonio Fabella.
Okay. Yeah. Crazy book. I'm excited to talk with you about it because it's, I think this is probably the polar opposite superhero book.
Yeah.
To what you got me, which is so funny.
Yeah, there'll be no thought in it at all. Just fights.
No philosophy in there at all. It's just like, oh, look at this Punisher guy who sold his soul to the devil and then became, you know.
Is this kind of like first appearance?
That's
Cosmic
like.
Cosmic Ghost Rider?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Very fun.
So I'm excited for that.
Look forward to it.
Tell us what you think would be good categories in our Trade Waiters Awards.
Who are your nominees?
Very official. There is a trophy if someone that we award the Trade Waiter Award to wants it. I'm leaving that offer up.
You just got to ask. If they ask me,
I will make one and print one and make it all official and send it for free. So
you can send your votes to TradeRatorsPod@gmail.com. You can also tweet at us. You can get in contact with us on the link tree. Mm-hmm. All those links are in there. Go like, follow.
Is there a link tree on our Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay. That might be a problem now.
Why?
Because I think that's like a restriction now that Elon has made.
You can't have links.
You can't have links to other social media platforms, especially Linktree. So maybe we've been banned.
You think we've been banned?
No, definitely not. But we might need to change that. Anyway, that's the show.
Yep.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Bye.